All right, you are listening to the review of WWE's Money in the Bank 28. I am Patrick, back here again with Weston and Dustin. We are back and better than ever. Guys, how are you doing this evening? It's Monday night.
I'm doing good. I'm going to have to say I'm doing good. I didn't get to see Money in the Bank live, but I finished up not too long ago, so I'm ready to go.
Last night, decompressing after doing some work this weekend in Miami, so watched it today.
Let's go ahead and get right to it. We had Money in the Bank, of course. We're going to talk the briefcase, their matches first, and start with the match. And Braun Strowman defeated Bobby Roode, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rusev, Samoa Joe, The Miz, and Kofi Kingston to earn the briefcase, and with that, a contract for a world championship match at any time that Braun chooses. So, as he's called now, Mr. Monster in the Bank.
The match itself, I thought it was a fun match. It wasn't anything blow away for me. When it comes to matches, Money in the Bank or slashes in general, I usually find them fun. But this one didn't really stand out above any others. There were some cool spots, obviously. But and they do this a lot. I kind of wish I understand why, but where they do the thing where they cover up. First of all, I don't think they did anything devastating enough to have Braun out for the first like 10 minutes. Where they do the thing where they try to all take Braun out. I understand the idea, but sometimes it kind of takes away, or especially when you have like 8 people in there. Like I said, I understand the idea, but sometimes it's been used too much up to this point, personally. But match itself, Kevin Owens' bump was kind of crazy. Looks like the wire or something hit him right in the face when he went through the tables or whatever. But and as far as Braun Strowman winning, I love Braun Strowman. But Braun Strowman winning Money in the Bank is kind of perplexing. He's like the one guy in the Money in the Bank, so I think it's kind of weird him winning the briefs. Overall, it was fun. It wasn't blow away, but it was fun, and I liked seeing Braun win, but I don't know what he's going to do with it. So that's my take.
So first things first, on the match itself, my thing with these is you have to do something special to stand out in a WWE multi-man ladder match these days. The NXT one, New Orleans, I thought stood out. Longer, which is usually worse, but it ended up being better. It was so vicious and so brutal and was so creative, innovative. And I thought both of them, particularly this one on this show, I thought this was as run-of-the-mill as it gets. I had seen pretty much every spot before. Owens took his one nutty bump, always does. So full disclosure for those of you listening, if you heard our WrestleMania podcast, that show broke me in a way. I was so disenchanted with company after how abominable the main event of WrestleMania was, with this to keep the Universal Championship Brock Lesnar and basically throw away the last 4 years of what they had done on the men's side. And it dawned on me that I kind of hate Braun Strowman. It's not that, like, I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm sick of wrestlers who are just memes, okay? Like, Braun Strowman is not a human being. Braun Strowman doesn't have an inner life. Braun Strowman is a phrase and a marketing slogan. You know, it's so funny, the criticisms that everybody levels against Roman Reigns and John Cena are actually true about this guy, and they can't get enough. You know, and I give people a long time to point me in the ring. But Braun Strowman, I think, is here at this point. One, it doesn't work as a babyface. And two, it's entirely a creation of Roman Reigns. There is no wrestler that has had more than a passable match with Braun other than Roman Reigns. Certainly not as babyface, where by my count, he has a single good match ever. So, you know, let's look at this. What is the point of this guy? Because if they're not going to put the belt in a one-on-one match with Brock Lesnar, straight up, he keeps being so overpowered. Dustin, you allude to this. He overs multiple guys all the time. it's doing is making the red roster look even worse than they already do because of this company's booking. And he doesn't do anything with it. So he wins a meaningless trophy in Saudi Arabia, and then he wins a pick that is usually given to a card heel to get them into the main event as a place champion. What are we doing? So wait, are you telling me that Brock Lesnar is going to lose belt after 600 whatever on a cash to a guy he beat clean multiple times? Fuck you. The only way to salvage this would be Braun calling his shot. But on Raw tonight, he's not going to do that. So, boy, if Brock were to lose via cash after all of this, oh, man. Especially to Braun, who might be a shittier champion than Brock. He's at least with Brock, you know, you had outside chance of a match. I hated this decision. All four of the SmackDown guys were interesting. Miz was the obvious choice, but Joe would have been interesting. Rusev would have been in. New Day, freeing the belt would have been awesome. Like all those fresh and new ideas. And Braun is in this weird half space, the most dominant character on the show, but he doesn't actually do anything. He doesn't feel anything. He just exists as get these hands guy, and that's it. Braun is a face host your shitty uncle shares to make himself laugh and get a few likes from his buddies down at the American Legion, okay? Like, I don't know. Fuck this. I thought this was terrible. I thought it was uninspired. They could not have picked a worse winner. Actually, they could have. Kevin Owens could have won. But they had the second worst winner out of the eight. I miserably frustrated. Oh, and it's main evented. Get to that in a little bit. All in all, I thought that was a...
Let me tell you something, and you may not necessarily know what I'm about to say, but I know you won't. It has to do with Braun. I did not think any of the other guys made as much sense to me as Braun, because I believe that the chances that he will do what Sheamus did in Atlanta at Survivor Series on 2015, I was there, it's going to be the same thing he does, which means I believe that it's likely that Roman probably get that big win against Brock Lesnar, who maybe at SummerSlam knows. And as soon as Roman is a champion, out comes Braun, catches in, destroys your hopes and dreams once again, and runs with the belt. And Roman crushed. That's just how I see it playing out. So for that reason, I Braun's going to win it. Makes sense, and a big guy. And when was the last time that they had the biggest guy in the match be the guy that wins? I think by putting Braun on there, they had to make him win the match.
Well, this comes down to Money in the Bank being a gimmick, right? Is there any need for Money in the Bank? It was always just a crutch. Originally, it was just a gimmick to get Edge over to the main event, and it was popular because everybody pops for the cash in because WWE viewed it for memes. So, I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's the same thing. It's actually a perfect fit for Braun because they're all about doing one thing in one time that has bearing on anything else. So, I don't know. I'm so sick of Money in the Bank. It's not going anywhere. The biggest reason I was happy that Braun is because it means that it won't be used to elevate a mid-card heel to the main event. They beat them like a drum once. You know, they've really gotten from that. They did it famous. And now we've got three guys in a row who they're not going to do that with. So I guess I appreciate that they're not doing the same old crap. But man, I just, I don't know. I'm for the whole thing just go away.
Well, real quick, my biggest problem with Braun winning it is, and I think top problem with Braun, well, and I completely agree with you on it. I still like to see Braun, but like you said, it's a attraction thing more than it is, I'm a class match or a well-worked match.
How can you invest in him? That's my question. He's so overpowered, and it's not even that he doesn't face adversity. He's basically on a different show. You know, he's like Vince, like, found his favorite action figure and decided to smash up the set created. Like that's what he is.
Well, probably
an 8-year-old's wet dream.
Yeah, you're right. But the number problem for Braun is that it's a pretty glaring problem. He has zero direction. What is a guy like Braun Strowman? Like, you have him overpowered over everybody, basically anybody who's in a singles match with him is screwed, essentially, in terms of there's no way you can beat him. Unlike Brock Lesnar, but that's a different thing. But it's kind of directionless. It's like, what are you doing with Braun? He's hovering. He's the ultimate. Well, actually, you could say Roman Reigns is the ultimate ambiguity in a way. But he's up there. It's just so ambiguous in what he's supposed to be doing, what his role is.
There's no direction.
But I think they would have been served with going with else. Patrick, I see what you're saying. Actually, I spoke with Devin about this. We talked about this. And we think that if Braun did win, probably is what was going to happen, kind of what you laid out. But the problem I have with that is right now, who the hell cares about Roman Reigns?
Nobody.
And this is coming from legitimately one of the biggest Roman Reigns fans of all time.
Oh, no, but they killed him. He's dead. That's the thing that we should talk about here. There are four legitimate challenges to Lesnar, right? And none of them remotely interesting. You've got Roman, who is the deadest character in the history of wrestling. Braun, who had lost to Brock multiple times, and I couldn't bother to give a shit about him at this point. Lashley.
Is laughable. That's literally, you laugh, I was going to say laughable.
Yeah, and then Rollins is probably the most interesting of the four, and that does look like the direction they're going, at least in the short term. But if he wins, then all they've done is you know, I don't know, he's Little League. And so if Rollins is the payoff, then the whole thing feels a little pointless. And I don't think he would beat Lesnar. So, you know, I just probably objectively the choice, even if I don't like him. But, yeah. Like, that's interesting. I don't want to see that, you know? There's no deal in that. So it would be a redux of the Roman Reigns feud, where Rollins would be like, hey, I'm all hard. I show up. I fight every week. Where do you at? And guess what? Yeah. Doesn't fucking matter. Brock Lesnar has WWE by the balls. You lose. We all lose. So it doesn't matter. None of this matters. By putting money in the briefcase on Raw at all, it becomes irrelevant. Nothing matters until we get away from Brock. So that's the problem. It's not just Braun. It's not just Roman. It's all of them. Because of what they demand.
I think that's as we can end it here on the main event of Money Inc. So Braun has the briefcase. And what's going to happen with anybody else? Who knows? I mean, when will Brock Lesnar be back on TV? No clue.
Who could possibly care?
So let's go ahead and move on to actually the briefcase, the Money in the Bank ladder match I like best of the two. And that was for the women briefcase. Goddess of the WWE, Alexa Bliss, defeated Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Ember Moon, Naomi, Talia, Sasha Banks, and Lana. To win that brief with the championship, contracts are any challenge for that. Again, this is my pick to win it because of anybody in this match, I thought she'd be the most anyone holding that brief for however long she were to hold it. So, again, I got it right. Alexa Bliss proved again why she's the best woman in the WWE. And heck, top 10 wrestler in the WWE, in my opinion. But, you know, just opinion, right? Calm down, hater. Like I said, this is my favorite of the ladder matches. The women outshine the men in match. What did you guys think? And if you guys didn't like this, who would have been a better choice for you?
I thought that the match was better than the men's. If you're really into the harsh ladder match thing, I thought this one was a little bit more raw. The problem with it for me was that about half the people in it weren't good enough to be in a WWE ladder match. So there was just too much dead weight. Like, I just wanted Ember and Sasha throw each other into ladders the whole time. And,
yeah.
And, you know, you had people in it like, you know, your girl and Lana and Natalya and Naomi, who for whatever reason, it just weren't enough. And you had, you know, better wrestlers like Bayley and Asuka and Ruby Riott, who would have been better in this match, that weren't. And that was a little frustrating for me. So I don't think it ever congealed into something that I could actually recommend. But it wasn't bad. I thought it was more fun than the men's one. I thought it was a little bit surprising. you knew Sasha was going to take a couple of just ridiculous bumps. And of course, yeah, the one she took at the beginning, where Ember cross-body into her, it was disgusting. It's, you know, Sasha's every single time. I love her to death for it, but I also wish she would do it. God bless Sasha Banks. And Ember Moon is magnificent. She's just absolutely incredible. I wish they would bother to write anything interesting for her at all. Even Hunter didn't do it. But God, is she a great wrestler. Just outstanding. I wish she was on SmackDown, because I think she'll get buried on Raw. Not buried sense that, you know, like in wrestling, but I mean, I should get in the shuffle. But, you know, I'd love to see her with Ronda. I think that would kick ass. I'd love to see Sasha. But yeah, I thought, you know, winner aside, I thought that the match just didn't really hold its weight on all ends. Obviously, Alexa didn't take any sort of bump in this. You knew she wouldn't, because she doesn't. And she won. This was logical, because she did the least amount of damage. But WWE being cynical allows you to succeed. So that's what happened here. I thought they were going to go with Natalya, so that she could turn on Rousey. It appears that they dropped that storyline instead, which I'm actually pretty happy about, as I don't care to see it. I don't know. They should have turned to heel months ago with Bayley when they had the opportunity, so that she could have won. Because to me, Ronda versus Sasha is a huge, huge match. And Alexa's in shortcomings, we'll say, no pun intended, limit ability for her to get people excited about her. I get it. Think Alexa is their top heel. We'll get this more when we talk about Ronda and Nia. As it shouldn't be anybody from SmackDown. Champion is a Money in the Bank holder. So it had to be one of the Raw wrestlers. And based on where everybody was, I think that Alexa was probably, if the idea was to get it to Raw, I think that was probably the best choice in it based on where everyone is right now. But she would not have been the way that I would have done if given an opportunity to change the makeup of the match. We'll say that.
Yeah, no, we're pretty much on the same page on this match in terms of thought. It was blow away once again. I didn't think any of the ladder match blow away. Over the years, the ladder match to me have kind of lost their luster because I've seen so many now. I thought it was a little better. I thought it was a little better than the men's. I actually agree with you, Evan, that there was kind of some dead weight, like, in terms of Lana and Natalya, some of the other ones, that kind of really didn't do anything. You had others kind of doing the crazy bump spots and things like that. And that kind of took away from it a little bit, because kind of what you can do, especially when you're trying to keep those same people incorporated in the match. Alexa Bliss winning does not surprise me at all.
Never should.
She was definitely some. I thought it was going to be Alexa Bliss Natalya, and Natalya for the same reason I said earlier. Thought she was going to turn on, but so it did. I kind of felt the same way as you. I did feel a little better that wasn't the direction they were going, because that was not something that I wanted to see. Out of all possible scenarios,
that's been horrible.
That was not what I wanted to see. But Alexa Bliss winning, like I said, didn't really shock me. Wouldn't matter or anything. It's just, Patrick, sorry, Alexa was not top 10 in terms of wrestling. Maybe in terms of time on TV, but the match is a thing. Well, the match was good. I enjoyed watching it. Alexa Bliss won, wasn't shocked on that, but that's really all I have to say about it. Wasn't anything groundbreaking.
Look, Evan, I respond to the goddess not taking any bumps, okay? Have you heard of the expression, work smarter, not harder, okay? That's one. And then second, to you, Dustin, talking about she's not one of the top wrestlers. I didn't say she was top, like, in general. I just said my favorite top 10. And keep in mind, I am ranking this on a sports entertainment scale for WWE purposes. All right, so we're not, you know, don't go crazy here. You just gave me all these hate tweets, you know. I'll be thinking that I think like she's better than Okada or something. Calm down.
I knew I was going to get backlash on that.
She is better than Okada.
Yeah, but we don't want to say that, all right? I don't want to get death threats, okay? So if she wins, okay, prove it again. She's on the top. She is the ball women's division, all right? So let's move on to the next match, which is going to be the Raw's Women's Championship. Champion Nia Jax ending against Rousey. Before we talk about the shenanigans and the result of the match, can I say, wow. Ronda Rousey looked great in her first match. At least this is her first singles match, right? Did tag matches in house shows?
I believe the first time she has ever been in a singles match in front of a live audience.
That was, for it being the first time, man, she exceeded expectations once again. And, you know, I had concerns about this match on both ends. But, man, both women, I believe, did their job, not that hard, and Naomi enjoyed the 11 minutes of the match.
I'll tell you this. Ronda Rousey is the most impressive new wrestler I think I've ever seen. I'm blown away by what a natural she is. I know shooters are usually very good. The person I probably would have said that last about is Matt Riddle. I've become a huge fan of recently. But geez, I mean, she's incredible. She's such a natural. She sells perfectly. Her strikes are fantastic. Her offense looks great. She's got the facials down. She knows how to pace to maximum drama out of any situation. I understand that her matches are probably very, very scripted and rehearsed and edited closely, but that doesn't matter. What matters is the end product. And the fact is, she executes at a level that, frankly, is higher than most of the roster already. I think better than more 50% of the women on the roster right now. I genuinely believe that. And to be that good in the first singles match you've ever had in front of a live audience. That's remarkable to me. And we should also credit Nia Jax, who I think is the underrated wrestler in the promotion, period. I think she's one of the best workers in the division and one of the best workers in the company. And because she's big and Scott Keith and Dave Meltzer trained everybody to hate people, we, you know, nobody can accept that she's awesome. But Nia is great. And, you know, the two of them were perfect together. We'll talk about the booking in it, but just this match, it was hard hitting. It was well paced. The story was great. I can't say enough about how about Ron Moss' body or the fucking juice that was so good, and the way that she, I don't know. There's I think maybe it's because she's so green. There's almost a wrongness to some of her decisions. Like it feels like a fight. Yeah. You know. It's just, she's so good. She's so good. I wish she wrestled more because I understand they would burn through her opponents. But damn, she's awesome. She's so awesome. And this was easy to the night for me, far away. And one of my favorite WWE matches so far this year.
No, I'm going to have to. I think for Seth, this is going to be universal acclaim and consensus all around. Because let me tell you something. Move over, Brock Lesnar, because we got the real next big thing.
Seriously, we don't need Paul anymore. We have top UFC star now that isn't him.
That's what I'm talking about. Rousey is the shit. Like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, her singles match, and like the whole time was like, but like edge of my seat type stuff. Like, she does so well selling. She does so well. After she got powerbombed, and was like groggy and came up and stumbled out of the ring.
Wasn't that incredible?
That's such a, it's a small thing, but it adds so much.
Hey, Patrick, she bumps. She bumps.
That's exactly. She takes bumps. No.
Listen, no one ever accused Ronda Rousey of being smarter. Look at who her coach was when she started losing MMA.
No, but everything, her offense, her facial expressions, her selling, bumping, when she started to, like, you know, when she starts her Ronda Rousey Hulk up, essentially, like everything about it, everything about her, her character work, her in-ring charisma is off the charts. God, but here's the thing. As much as I praise Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax did incredible. So she did perfect in that match. And I love the dynamic of big versus small opponent. I'm always a fan of that. But I think that came through really well in this match, too. But, man, Rousey's going to be something else. I mean, she already is. Man, she's going to be good. She already is. No, I was thrilled with the match.
Great match. We all loved it. Again, credit to both women. Did their job. And then, just when you thought Ronda Rousey had Nia Jax submitted, new champion. Nope. Out comes Alexa Bliss with her briefcase and starts beating on both women. I mean, I'm telling you, it was great to see. So we get a disqualification win for Ronda. And Alexa then takes the opportunity, cashes in her Money in the Bank contract. And in 35 seconds, defeats Nia Jax to become the Raw Women's Champ once again. What a great moment right there. The goddess traded in her briefcase for the gold that she should have ever lost to that bully, Nia Jax. And again, all is right with the universe. This is right. Why I love saying good guys in the end.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. Once again, I actually wasn't that size. I mean, it was
it had to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Ronda couldn't win yet because the crowd would turn. But she also couldn't lose. So it had to happen. Now, I thought it was going to be Natalya, but I figured whoever won the Women's Money in the Bank match was going to leave the night as champion. The thing is, there are positives and big negatives to this, right? And I had such confused feelings about it that I had to, like, think about it for a while today. I don't usually, like, prep stuff show. One, I dislike Hatley. But also, I like to, I think I have my best stuff and I go tough. But with this, I had to really get my mind around it. And I think that there is the potential to do something great here with Ronda and Alexa, because I do think that why that's a money matchup. And I think Ronda get title from a strong heel is the right way to go. And it's a big match for SummerSlam. It's a big moment for Ronda to get the title. And I think that that's great. I think Alexa is a perfectly fine person to do that job. And that Ronda will benefit from it. Now, pretty much everything else about this is not so. But from that perspective, if you do it properly, it could be really great. There are ways for it to go wrong.
Said I wasn't surprised that Alexa had come in and cashed, had cashed in the bank and won. And I did like kind of how she did it and taken out. It was a brutal beating with the case. I will say that. That was pretty awesome. I would agree with Evan that I'm not necessarily. I think my mixed feelings. It's way better than Julia, so I am happy about it. And I know I'll jump on Alexa Bliss. But she does, you know, she is a great heel and a great character work as well. But so I think perfect to set up, like Evan was saying, perfect to set up Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam. And it's the perfect way to help boost Ronda and put the strap on her. But overall, I thought that came off good. The crowd hopped for it. They're much more hot for it than if it was going to be Natalya. I can tell you that right now. They were much more into Alexa Bliss cashing that in than they would have been Natalya. Patrick, how happy are you about this?
I mean, I'm static. Like I said, all is right with the world. You know, she should have never lost championship in first. You know, I mean, she was doing great carrying Raw after carrying SmackDown Live for a long time. So the fact that she's the champ once again, she's on top. There's a reason why they call her the goddess of the WWE. All right. And we are all blissed to have Alexa as her champion. You know? And if that means she's gonna bully, not to bully Ronda. And, you know, hey, you know, just put adversity in front of her, you know, and she'll chop them down like trees. You know, because when you think about bullies and you know how she's had to face, Alexa is the true star that we deserve. You know, they should rename anti-bullying campaign from being Be a Star to Be a Bliss.
All right, we're getting too far on this one, Patrick. We're talking about chain tie bullying campaign now.
Well, basically what this was that Alexa had to lose at WrestleMania, but they didn't want Nia to get the heat that came Alexa's year-long title reign. Right?
Yes.
So they took it back, and now they're going to give it to Ronda, which is fine, but this is another person that Alexa Bliss is booking has torpedoed. She took Becky Lynch. She took Sasha Banks. She took Bayley, and now she's taking Nia. All in, sir, you know, it's fine. WWE loves these long heel runs. Somebody gets put over at the end. But it's the same thing with Lesnar. You actually have to do it, right? And you have to do it the right way. So, you know, if the heel is ready to lose and the face is ready to win, there's no reason to delay more, especially if you telegraphed it, because everybody knows what's coming. So anything but that is going to feel like senseless. And Alexa was ready long before WrestleMania last year, which is why she failed. It's also why she didn't defend the title for about 4 months. And, you know, they've gone back to that. They reversed it because time is a flat circle. So they have to do Ronda now. You know, it's going to be SummerSlam. Ronda needs to win because Alexa is staying. She doesn't gain anything from being one anymore. She's where she's going to be. All that happens is other acts atrophy and die, and she gains nothing from it. So, yeah. Remember how big a star Nia felt the night after WrestleMania? It's gone now. They turned heel again for no reason. Right after she finished an anti-bullying story. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? What? You know, that was bad enough. So, like, I don't result here because it was already cooked, you know, 3 weeks before any of this. You know, Nia was done at that point. But they've now completely absorbed what had gained and give it to Alexa, so that, theoretically, so that she can give it to Ronda. But if we have to go through any longer than one more cycle of Alexa, you know, running away from somebody and then beating them, you know, come on. Come on. They could stop. And I'm so afraid that they went back to this. Now, again, it could turn out really great. They do the right thing. So that's in front of them. I think they will, but we'll see. I never know for sure. Certainly not anymore.
Well, moving on. Last man standing man for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles defeats Shinsuke Nakamura to remain champion. Over 30 minutes, and I gotta say, of all of their matches I've had on pay-per-views, this is my favorite.
I have to agree with you, Patrick. That's what I was thinking about. Out of all the pay-per-view matches I've had, this is like the most. I thought it was a really good match. WWE usually with last man standing matches, they usually do a good job most of the time, and I thought that this one between AJ and Ock was a really good match. I enjoyed everything that happened. I thought it built up very well. And even though this feud's been on low blows, I mean, they used it to the advantage again, but I mean, it works within the storyline. I really liked it. Compared to all their other pay-per-view matches, this was their best one. I don't know what the idea is here, but like what the plan is for Nakamura, but because at this point, you know, he still had the title, I kind of thought that was the whole run since, you know, this thing of the year. I don't know if they're going to go another direction or keep this going. We'll have to talk about that, but in terms of the match itself,
can't possibly.
I enjoyed it. Go ahead, Evan.
it's got to be over, right? I mean, Nakamura has now lost Vince again in a 32-minute blow-up match. That's got to be it, right?
I think so. I'm not sure what they do with Nakamura now, because it's kind of like they threw him, like... And here's the thing. Don't worry. Out of everybody, I'm probably I don't hate him like Brock Lesnar or anything for myself, but Moore's not somebody who I love. But I'm not sure what they've done now. They build him as a, you know, they tried to build him as a star, kind of as somebody who's main event quality, and he had to get this title and fail.
Well, they'll do what they always do. And it didn't happen, and they'll keep booking him like they normally do.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I'm assuming they're going to heel Nakamura.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you can't turn him back. Well, interesting. I mean, do you want about where SmackDown is now, or do you want to just the match? Because I think both are interesting.
Break down both. I mean, I'm gonna be blunt here and just let you know. Like, since WrestleMania, like, watched some games, I've watched a couple Rollins films, but I've been so the Roman thing has hurt my interest.
Killed the product.
I'm starting slowly to get back into things.
So am I. Why I'm on this show, I wasn't on the last one.
But, yeah, go ahead and break that down, Evan, if you want to.
Well, because I thought the match had a lot of good ideas. I don't know if it necessarily good. First of all, if you're going to go 30-plus, you know, you better really have a great idea. Look at Saturday Night Football. Johnny and Tomato had a great idea. And they executed to perfection. Johnny is 3 for 3, 30-plus on TakeOver this year. AJ Styles is. It's not that it was bad. I thought it was better than a lot of the show, and it had a lot of ideas and good spots. But they were handicapped by two things. Number one, that there were two big car crash ladder matches on this show. Didn't really go all out with weapons, and I think they needed a lot of smoke and mirrors. And they weren't really able to get that, especially if they were going to go that long. So that kind of put them behind the ball to begin with. And the thing that ties into that is that Nakamura has a lot of miles on him. And so does AJ. And you know, Styles, though he's coasting, he rebought it in the last 10 minutes of this. But Nakamura's WWE run, if this is his comfy retirement, because I know we got a pretty nice downside. I can't blame one bit. Same time, everything he's done has, other than the Zayn match with which he debuted, has felt very languid, and there's no urgency to it. And I felt that this suffered from just a sense of ennui, and it just never got out of first for me. I thought it was very slow, and that's, you know, that's not always a bad thing, but the whole point of AJ and Mora was that this is supposed to be, you know, New Japan brought to WWE. 7-star match, right?
Like, match to the decade, like.
Yeah, and they just, you know, they never got there. Like, at WrestleMania, we talked about it, they had a face-for-face match, which was, you know, killed the point of it. They did the turn, which we thought was great, and the build was great. They just never delivered. The best match they had was a TV match to the stipulation because it was on TV. So they had to end by a certain time, and it had a twist and an urge to it that none of the paper matches had. And I just have to conclude that there really isn't much of a Nakamura anymore. Because like you said, he's now been thoroughly beaten, fresh off of his turn, no less. And the match quality isn't there. So what's the point? And now you've got AJ on a 200-day-plus reign, where I'd name a match that I enjoyed more than his first defense against Jinder Mahal. So, I mean, this is not good. Now you both like the match a lot more than I did, but again, I haven't felt a sense of urgency to this feud at all. I thought it was a little bit of a you know, pardon my French, a little bit of a limp dick. It just, you know, it really never got the blood pumping. So, you know, obviously not the disappointment on the scale of Reigns Lesnar, but really, really a bummer. And kind of similar to to the style of Owens last year. Not nearly bad, but a similar level of disappointment. So I'm happy it's over, I'll say. And I'm really disappointed that it wasn't able to be what we all was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys got a lot out of this match. For me, if you're going to go 30+, you need to have more than this had. I think there was a great 16-minute match in this. But it was just so long.
The thing that makes me happy, especially about the fact that the SmackDown roster right now is packed with a lot of guys that get put in positions for title runs and title opportunities. As far as the state of SmackDown Live is concerned, while it remains Sunday nights, you have a roster with a lot of great guys and a lot of fresh matchups. I definitely do think that this should be it for these two for now. And bring something fresh which, you know, AJ is having, you know, the title run that I'm sorry to go back to, maybe Reigns should be having.
They're on different shows. You didn't have to choose.
Sure, yeah. I get that, but, you know, you can't do one thing that you're doing another. I mean, who would have thought when these faced off at the Royal Rumble a few years back when AJ did it, that the person who they built it around would be AJ, and the son would be Roman.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. How well has AJ Styles done? I mean, it's an extraordinary level of success. He is the first person ever in the history of the company to get to this level who built his name on the outside.
Yep.
For me, Austin doesn't count, because it was a different gimmick. It was a WWE-built gimmick. But Vince loves one thing. His guys, his ideas need to be, you know, at the top, right? His ideas need to be the ones who are built to the top. AJ Styles is nothing about him, the WWE idea. He's basically doing the same gimmick he was doing in New Japan, except just as a baby. And when he was a heel last year, he was doing the Bullet Club leader gimmick, down to the name and the people involved. So, you know, it's astonishing the level of success he had. And it wasn't at first, because when he lost to Jericho at Mania, they heated him up so he could put Roman over. And then they did the heel turn and they gave him Cena and something, and they just, he's undeniable. What he's done, unprecedented. Now, where it's just a foregone conclusion that he is the main event babyface and the face brand that just earned them a broadcast network television deal. That's astonishing. And all the credit world goes to AJ for being so great as to allow Vince McMahon, the most stubborn man in entertainment, not to deny him. So, you know, that's an incredible achievement that deserves, you know, recognition.
And you also have to think about his age, too. He's doing this.
What, 40?
He's not doing this in his late 20s or early 30s. Like, is he 40 yet?
Yeah, he's 41.
That's what I'm saying. He's just in his 40s.
Yeah, it's wild. He's seen his age. But the Cena Styles was with AJ as the young up-and-comer. Only WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been wrestling longer than Cena. In a major promotion with TV.
Yep.
Like, it's absolutely outrageous how well he's done himself.
He's not the prototype of what Vince McMahon loves and dreams about every night. You know,
no, he's not.
Not at all. He's the opposite of everything Vince McMahon loves in his champion and the guy he brought. But I guess that's where AJ came in and blew them out of the water. And, you know, he was able to, you know, Daniel Bryan before him, although I think with Daniel, there was more hesitance. They just eventually got. I mean, look, AJ Styles is the face of the game now. He's on the cover of, you know, the WWE game for next year. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that came out today.
Yeah, so it's wild that he came in, you know, a southern boy, nowhere Georgia.
Remember when they called him the rookie redneck?
I mean, when he first came in, I mean, you could tell, okay, this is a guy that they're not going to take seriously. He's just going to be a performer that's going to be held because of his size.
So, I mean, when you take a look now at SmackDown, I think SmackDown is in a really interesting spot, because Raw has four guys who are positioned for the title contendership. And actually, a little bit of breaking news here on our podcast that won't be breaking by the time this is released, but it just happened in real time. They announced for the second straight year a multi-man Extreme Rules match for the number one contendership. And Lashley and Reigns are the first two ends. I assume Rollins is going to win that since he lost the belt. And the well-connected Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter of Fightful.com is indicating that he did so to move to bigger things. Looks like Rollins versus Lesnar and Reigns versus Lashley for SummerSlam.
Are you this at the next pay-per-view, or is this going to be on like
the main event of Extreme Rules with July pay-per-view?
Okay, okay.
Just like last year. I assume Rollins will get. You would think people like Balor or even Owens will be in it. Rollins seems to be the almost certain winner of that, and he will go on to face Brock and presumably lose to him in Brooklyn, while Roman and Lashley feud with each other. But right, does any of that matter? Do we give a shit? Like, you know, whereas
that's the part. That's the sad part. Both those things you said, really and truly, what they've been for 4 years was, Roman and Brock. Anything Roman and Brock are in, holy shit, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And you just named the two matches, and we're kind of like,
I should be so into that, right? And it's just like, you know, whatever. Now, I don't particularly care if Rollins are for Lashley, but even still, like, if Reigns versus Lashley is anything like Cena versus Lee, which I imagine will be structured as, that should be awesome. But who could care? But on SmackDown, back to, you know, where I was going with this, they're in a spot where their roster is basically allowed to reset here. Because look at where the structure of their show is. Or, right? So at the top of the card, two very strongly pushed faces in AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. And then the next, like, six guys in the pecking order are all sort of ill-mined upper mid-card heels.
Yes.
Six heels, really four, because they did, but six heels who are around the same spot. The Miz, Samoa Joe, Rusev, Andrade Cien Almas, Nakamura, and Cass. So you figure they just keep picking from that group, feeds to Bryan and AJ, and eventually The Miz will crystallize into the book. But you've got an opportunity now where they could just as easily set up AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, and Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Or if they want to wait on Bryan Miz, which I think is a good idea, you know, AJ Styles versus The Miz for the title, and Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe. Does that sound awesome?
That does sound awesome.
All you might at this point be the guy on the roster.
Almost, I love Almost.
Sitting there waiting. Jeff is there. They really should do should get the U.S. on Almas and take it off Jeffy. You forget Jeff Hardy was the biggest star in the company in 2008-2009.
Oh, yeah.
Massive. So the SmackDown's in a really cool spot where nothing is not like Raw, where everything seems mythically preordained, all this garbage. You know, it's open. You know, they have room to do something interesting. Now,
yeah.
They've weeded the stuff that they needed out from pre-made SmackDown, which was so bad, and they've gotten rid of the acts that were holding down the show, and they're in a place now where they have a chance to do something really interesting. Now, will they? Probably not. there's an opportunity there, and that's exciting, and it makes tune in tomorrow night. So from that perspective, this show sucked SmackDown well, and I think it did so on a lesser scale on the Wednesday. Patrick, if you want to bring us into that match.
Well, I think that the SmackDown Live Women's Championship proved one thing. Dreams never die.
I think it proved that any man with two hands has a fighting chance. The new me should hate James Ellsworth, but God damn it, I can't. I love myself an enterprising guy with Jin.
Carmel defending her championship against Asuka. Now, everyone, including I, expected this to be basically involuntary homicide here, because Asuka was going to destroy Carmella in her way to becoming Nemeth's champion. However, it looks like Asuka was looking at a double. She's looking at her mirror. And Carmella pulled a fast one, defeated Asuka in the championship. James Ellsworth is back by Carmella's side. And Asuka, once again, takes an L.
Patrick, you're not going to like this statement. But think about this. After Money in the Bank review, think about who two wins champions are. The entire roster of women that's gotten much better. I mean, you got Ember Moon added, you got Ronda added, you got Rhea added. You got all these women added to the roster, and I want you to think about who your two wins champions are. Alexa Bliss and Carmella. Is that not kind of funny in a way?
Well, it proves that the women's division still has a long way to go in terms of, like, I don't know, because it's kind of true of the men's division, too. Like, Roman's a hunk, isn't he?
But, yeah, like, no, I
Brock Lesnar would never be champion of the women's division. But looks will still get you a long way on that side of the card. There's no doubt about it. And being a funny heel promo.
I think it's more about...
I think it's both.
Actually more about them thinking, oh, they're confident in their heel promos, like, or they do their heel stuff and it doesn't sound terrible.
I'm sorry to cut you off because we just talked about it. We have to go back to it. They just announced for SmackDown tomorrow night a 5-man gauntlet match to determine the number one contender today, and the entrants are Ryan, Miz, Joe, Rusev, and Big E.
Oh, my God.
That is fucking awesome.
I want Big E to run so bad.
SmackDown is now must-watch. So they're doing something interesting. God bless making me right.
No, but here's the thing. And I understand, obviously, somebody like Alexa Bliss, it's going to be transitional. But it's just funny to me that they've added a lot of great women's wrestlers to the roster and starting to fill out more. I'm starting to feel women's division actually fill up more and feel more whole. And Carmella and Alexa Bliss are the champions. Now, the other thing I want to say, really, is I would be mad about it, but I couldn't help but laugh. Basically, think about who beat. Asuka was undefeated for I don't know how long and just got beat by basically James Ellsworth just beat Asuka.
Oh my God, I didn't think about that.
I mean,
well, oh man. Like, speaking of bad decisions at WrestleMania, just 2 months on, how bad does it look to have Charlotte have broken?
It looks awful.
Because they jumped out to Carmella immediately.
Yes, why would you do? Why would you have a streak if this is what you're going
to do? Charlotte lost to Carmella clean. She didn't even lose to James Bell. Oh, my God. The SmackDown Women's Division is so, so bad. It's all on the writing. The writing of it is so bad, and it makes me so angry. I hate the word deserve, but they deserve better. They really do.
Well, you know, I mean, we already have, you know, the men's division being so good. I mean, can't have it all, right? Let's check some balances. We can't have every great. If everything was great, we wouldn't be able to appreciate the really great stuff. Some things on a lower scale, so we can appreciate the good stuff, you know? So there's plus and minuses, bad, right, for a reason, or positive negatives. So what does this mean for Asuka?
I think
she
can
hang out with Roman Reigns now.
They're going to continue the feud, right?
They should. This is definitely an opening for them to continue to fight through SummerSlam most likely.
We didn't talk about this with Money in the Bank, but it seemed like they're setting up a heel for Becky Lynch with her losing, you know, being the last one and always being, you know, being Charlotte's, you know, second. I think they're setting a feud between the two of them, which at this point, because Becky is obviously one organically over out of the two. But we know how things work. Charlotte are. That's the way it is. But, like, Charlotte also lost clean to Carmella. So.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, they have to, because, like, what else would you do, right?
Well, it's a very simple thing.
This is another situation where Bank was used to get somebody over, but it doesn't just do that. You can't just slap a title on somebody, and then it has to, it's not, it gets forced. It's fake. It's so phony. And it won't, you know, it doesn't, it can't just say something real, make it real. You have to try a little bit, you know. You can't just make it happen in thin air. And that's what's wrong. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like it. Carmella isn't a champion because she's not a good wrestler. You know, and I find her more entertaining. Alexa. I think she and James Elver are a great double act. I love the idea of together. I'm really happy he's back. It's better than her being on her own. But they're a, you know, they're an act. That I don't think is at the top of the division that wants to be taken really seriously. And that's Charlotte and Asuka in it. And how quickly did Asuka just be part of the mid-card ocean, which we knew would happen.
That's what worried them. I knew it was going to happen.
As soon as she lost, as soon as she came up, as soon as she lost the streak, that happened. And I didn't have a problem with her losing the streak at WrestleMania. She burned through all of her opponents. We talked about that. But you can't then just murder Charlotte right away. I mean, you can't murder it. But de-emphasize her right away. And then when you de-emphasize Asuka, Charlotte breaking the streak doesn't matter anymore.
Yep.
And they're not actually telling a story with Asuka where she's, you know, rattled by her loss and she's questioning it. No, none of that's happening. It's, you know, Carmella is underhanded and Jane Worth's a goof.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you. That would make more sense. If they put a storyline, like, she's been rattled by this, trying to get back to form. Now, the match itself, I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember really what happened. Except for the end.
me too. I was going to say that.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to go up and wonder, it's like, wait, what did we actually see? And I just, no, I... Look, I was, okay, about Ellsworth, okay? I prefer Jimmy Dream over Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, I agree.
I was just going to say, I don't feel strongly enough to argue that, so I'm not going to.
James Ellsworth versus Matt Riddle is better than anything that Velveteen Dream has done.
So let's go ahead and go through the rest of the card and get some brief takes on the rest of it. Roman Reigns defeats Jinder Mahal. Anybody expected anything different? It was fine?
It still does. Like, as I'm getting over it, but it still breaks my heart, like, the fans at this point don't – I mean, they devalue matches now. Like, it used to be at least they booed him. Like, at least when they booed him, added to the match. Now they're chanting every other person's name. They're doing the wave. This match was going to be anything special. And for a match, it was okay, you know. I still love Roman Reigns. But, I mean, even them putting – they put Roman against Jinder Mahal and in the middle of the Money in the Bank with no, you know, there's no title on the line, there's no stipulation. I mean, I guess the next thing you could just try on the pre-show, but it just makes me sad. Fans don't give him a shot in hell. Like, they don't give the match a shot anymore. And that's kind of, it's crazy. But the match itself was okay. I figured Roman would win. And I don't really know. For my life, I don't have much to say about Roman Reigns. He won the match. And I don't really know where to go from here. But we'll see. Evan?
I have a pretty wild take on this, actually. So I decided that I was so fed up with this situation that I just was gonna essentially do the equivalent of put my fingers on my ears and, you know, say, la la la, I can't hear you, and I muted it and I watched the match, and it was really good match. If you
I need to do that. I need to do that because really, I'm dead serious when I say this. They were literally chanting all these other wrestlers' names. The fans can give you a match.
What's the point? Why bother? It doesn't matter.
Now you guys know watch most wrestling TV on mute. People call psychopath because I do that. But no, look. I avoid all other wrestling fans as much as I can because a lot of them can be stupid at times.
So, I mean, Chicago is such a bad crowd.
That is another thing. I tweeted, I think, at Devin and asked him what happened, and he told me, and then I'm like, well, it is Chicago. I mean, there's a reason why I have gone to Chicago for lean shows. I'm on the first flight out, all right? I don't stay there longer than I have to. Really, I land a couple of hours before the show starts. The chance I go straight to the airport flight out. That's my experience going to Chicago.
But, like, I mean, here's the, you know, it's not just that. It has, Chicago sucks, and WWE runs crappy cities for pay per view. But I'm kind of done blaming the fans for rejecting this. Right? Wouldn't you?
No, here's the thing. I agree with you on that. The point of, like I said, where's Roman Reigns now?
That's one thing, but it's also this. You could put him on the show and they'd still boo him. And the reason why is that booing Roman Reigns is nothing with Roman Reigns. It's a badge of identification. It says, look at me. I'm a smart wrestling fan. I know the behind the scenes. I'm up on what's going on. I listen to podcasts. Yeah, well, no one who listens to this podcast doesn't like Roman Reigns. But, like, in Roman Reigns is a way to show that you're part of the group. You are of the in group. That you're what's cool in wrestling fandom. Of course,
you got a seat at the table. Right. At the lunch table.
I know. I'm secret code. I'm in. That's the sign. So it doesn't matter what them. And it's so weird to me they didn't put the title on him because they have to know that. You know, and it's just like, you know, they're booking him as if he won the belt, aren't they? He's now gone over heels cleanly in matches that built to big baby face comes. Now, and I'm sick of, you know, he does a fantasy, right? Well, here's mine. I'm gonna watch all of Roman's stuff from now on. Because
I might actually start doing the same thing.
Enough. And have a connection to him enough where I can kind of fill in gaps. It can make me sound insane. Or I can kind of fill in the gaps in my head. You know, I can kind of, you know, I cheer when he's a good seller that he doesn't need the news. So I cheer when he makes the comeback. And I, you know, he hit a big boot in this match that was vicious.
It was also the spot.
No cared, but who cares what they think? Enjoy the match on its own merits. Dustin, I swear, go back and watch it. It's a certified Roman banger. It is. But you would never know from the crowd. So
I'll check it out on mute.
It's not great. It's not anything great. It's not even the best stuff he's done this year. It's not nearly as good as he did with the Miz. But in my view, it was one of the second or the third best matches of the night. And I'm not a big Jinder guy. But Roman does well with guys where he can be the faster guy in the ring and he can do a lot of the selling. He does really well with that. And the Singh brother I thought was funny and was a great inversion of the new Jinder trope where all that stuff happens and then Jinder wins in the ring and he basically just said, no, fuck you, and won by spear. And it was cool. And, like, it was, you know, if people liked Roman, that match would have been universally liked. But it's two things now. It has always been about showing that you're part of the group to boo Roman. But now it's also kind of legitimate because possibly care. So they've actually given people what they wanted, made it legitimate to dislike the guy.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about that. They've actually gave the fans what they want.
The fight was always, you know, this guy sucks, but that had no basis. It was objectively awesome. But now his push is so bad, it's actually fair to take him. They shut out fans like you and me who would have legitimate reasons to dispute that. We don't have that anymore. So I'm just going to shut it all out, be my crazy hermit. And when Roman Reigns on the TV, I'm going to hit the button, and I'm going to enjoy my favorite wrestler on my own terms. There you go. Everybody, recommend this match. Check it out on mute. And the reactions for yourself like a nut, like I am, because it's really good. Dustin, you're probably the only person I'd ever recommend that to. So go do it.
Right now for the Intercontinental Championship, Seth Rollins defeats Elias because, bless me. And yeah, it was a 17-minute match, and I'm not sure if Rollins got hurt for a minute, but it got me scared. It looks like he's fine now. And knowing what we know now, with Dolph Ziggler defeating Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship, I don't like either of those guys, Dolph or Elias. But if I had to pick one of the two, I'm going with. So I was very somewhat interested in the match, because I usually work from Elias when he's on my screen. But yeah, Rollins retains the championship here. I thought it was a good match.
Elias is a pretty good worker, Patrick. You need to stay and watch.
Dustin, don't do this.
Come on. You need to walk with Elias.
I mean, he's a funny promo, like worn out at this point, isn't it? He's basically create a FCW heel.
It is starting to get to the point. I do agree with you. It is starting to get to the point. Right, where do now? Like, they've got him at this point. What do they do with him now?
The answer is
it's weird because he's kind of like he's a really weird act. Somebody they mild push, but like almost like he's given like the mid card version of the Kane treatment, where he's like, oh,
the answer is always nothing.
But no, I actually like the match. I didn't love it or anything, but I thought the match was like, really don't. I still do get enjoyment out of Elias, and Rollins is not, he's not my guy. Rollins just isn't a guy I'm all about. But I did like the match. I thought it was a good match.
They kind of forced you to choose when they broke the Shield up, right? You know, you either had to like Rollins or like Seth. And you know, the thing is, like, Seth keeps doing everything he should be doing, which is so frustrating. But beyond being an insane Roman fan, I don't find him too compelling in the ring. And I hate his knee matches. I hate them. And so much. And this one was deeply frustrating for me, because not only did he sell it inconsistently, which he always does, although actually it was better than usual, but not once did Elias target it. I checked on this. Not a single time did Elias do a move to the knee. He did a lot of moves to the neck, which is maybe supports largely insane theory that Seth hurt himself, because it looked like they didn't agent for Rollins to have issues with his knee. But like, he was also clearly fine, because when he did the Falcon Arrow,
he stood right back up, and yeah, I noticed that too. And that's a pet peeve of mine. If you're gonna do that move specifically, that move's already ridiculous in itself.
But yeah, I mean, you know, vacuum, you got to sell me. You know, but Elias comes a moron because he targeted. So
that's a good match. I didn't think about that.
So the whole match falls apart logically, because Elias didn't do the thing he would do to win. And so it's like, you know, in a real environment, any selfish athlete in combat would have noticed that and gone after it. So it ripped me out of the match. Not only was Seth not set, Elias wasn't targeting it. He's going after the neck. And eventually it just evolved into, you know, just big move after big move, which I don't always hate. In fact, I like it a lot. But it just, the logic of it didn't hold up. And then Seth won by cheating, was weird. And so all it served was to shoot him in the foot, because he doesn't have any moral ground to stand on to say that he cheated by Ziggler, because he cheated right. So, like, what the fuck? I don't know. I mean,
I guess they threw a clean cut on getting the title off of him.
I don't know. I didn't care for this. He's clearly going to Lesnar. I don't know why he had to lose the title to go to Lesnar. But he's clearly going to Lesnar. So it's over. People love him. The burn it down thing somehow got super over. So for that. And whatever, you know, however it makes out, we'll see. But
you want to talk about corny stuff. To burn it down is
right. God,
because the criticism, a lot of the criticisms of Roman originally, or oh, he's corny, or the stuff. You know, like Seth Rollins' burn it down stuff is pretty corny too. So I don't know what the, you know.
Bobby Lashley defeats Sami Zayn. That's all I have to say about that.
I was just about to make a joke. I was about to be like, Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn, where were they on the card?
I didn't watch this match. So I have nothing to say about it.
I don't even know. I don't remember. Let's see.
This was the second match of the card.
No, I remember where it was. I mean, this is a joke either. I don't think I really have anything to say about it. I mean, Lashley won.
Really squash, right?
Yeah, 6.5 minutes. I mean, yeah. Obviously we're saving Bobby Lashley to work with Roman, so.
Yeah, it was squash, but it's.
You know what I would have rather seen in place of this? How about some 205 livers?
Hell yeah.
Cruiserweights did not get any. I mean, that's.
Actually, I think it's good away from the Iran. Because it makes them feel more important in their own. 205 Live, by the way, free plug, is the best thing the WWE is doing right now. Everybody should watch it. They're awesome. There's a banger every week. Mustafa Ali is the best wrestler you're not paying attention to. Go check it out.
Evan, you mispronounced Monday Night Bliss, but it's okay.
Oh, everybody's talking about her.
The opening match of Daniel Bryan defeating Big Cass by submission. I don't know why they had a rematch. They had a rematch, and now Daniel Bryan won it, so it should be over. And I guess Daniel Bryan's warm-up, return to the WWE should be done, and now he's going to better and more important things than a 7-foot dummy.
I missed Daniel Bryan. I did. I missed him so much. Daniel Bryan could get that out of that lug. Only Daniel Bryan. God bless him. That the other match really enjoyed on Mark. But it was, you know, it wasn't great because Cass was so clearly out of his element. But it was Bryan doing all the little things, you know, bumping that little extra bit or you know, laying in hot just a little bit to make something nothing. And the guy is probably the greatest of all time at that. And you know, the guy won. You know, Bryan, everyone freaks out every time he loses. He's clearly good. You don't have to worry. The guy's a nice legend. He'll have a Hall of Fame class. You know, it's over. He won.
He's literally the opposite of Roman. There's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, he is canonized. And you know, he's deserves it, right? You know, I hate this idea that they're juxtaposed. Because they're both wonderful. I love them. And only Daniel could have had this match with Cass. I love that they gave him a new submission to kind of exemplify his new style. I'm really excited to see where he goes next. God, that gauntlet tomorrow night sounds so good. I'm really, really excited about SmackDown could go from here. They got all the decisions on the stripe. I'm really, really pumped about it, and I really enjoyed this match. I remember.
Yeah. I mean, I love everything that has to do with Daniel Bryan. He's one of my favorite wrestlers ever, and he gets props if he can make Big Cass even look any type of interesting to anyone.
Yeah, I don't get that. I know him.
And I'm going to agree with you both here in terms of, I like the match, and Daniel Bryan is just one hell of a wrestler. It's always special to see him, yeah, especially a guy Big Cass. I mean, he got a match, you know, I liked the match. It was a good match. And I was like, and with Big Cass, I was hesitant to. Daniel Bryan is so good that he brought me up from knowing that Big Cass was in the match. And that's a steep climb. It's a 7-foot climb.
Oh my God. My garage is dusting. Jesus Christ.
No. All right. And to run out, finish this off, Bludgeon Brothers defeat Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson to retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I thought it was a pretty good match for kickoff. 7 minutes. Bludgeon Brothers did retain the championship. They continue to look good as a tag team. And with that, yep, let's go ahead and close it out with our final grades. And Evan, let's start with you, bud.
I'm going to go ahead and give C. I think it was an improvement on Backlash, which is genuinely one of the worst pay-per-views of all time. I'm going to give it a C+, further reflection, because it was better than WrestleMania. It was functional. It confirmed our suspicion that Ronda is the shit. Yes. So, you know, what turns me off from WWE after WrestleMania, and it was the Roman thing was kind of a cascading realization for me and a lot of people. Very few characters in WWE feel a lot. You know, very little feels real. And I know it's, I mean, people are going to say, oh, dumbass, it's all fake. You know, but when you watch television, the best television immerses you. It feels real. It feels authentic. Passion. There's a vitality to it. And so much of WWE is so sterile and so safe and you know, so calculated and so fake. It is. You know, it's and when Ronda wrestles, the rawness to it. There's a passion. There's something that's just very, very real about it. And I appreciate that so much on a show that feels so sterile. And God bless them women, and she has clearly put in a ton of work. And, you know, I was really excited they brought her in. So I'm actually going to take a little bit of Vic up here and do a little bit done, because God knows I'm too up. You know, I don't know why people were so skeptical. Because, you know, she was the most dominant athlete in the world. Any discipline. Like, it's clear that when her heart is in something, and I think at her MMA career, it may not have been. But when her heart is in something, this is a human being that has a drive to do things that most people can't even dream of. I understand that she has, you know, this is no comment on her as a person, because I understand that she has said some things that have hurt people, and I understand that. So this is no comment on her as a person. I've never met her. You know, I get that there is an issue. That's also true of a lot of people in wrestling. But as a talent, as an indie performer, goodness gracious, just you know, bravo to her. Bravo to the Ace, who always prove that they do it when they set their minds to it. Bravo to Nia, who I thought was absolutely stellar. I can't wait what Ronda does next. She is easily, far and away, the most must-see thing in the promotion. Other than that, the show had Brian and Roman dragging subpar to good matches. One of them, which you could only take on mute. The other one, by the way, Brian's match, I thought was funny because it actually had the right reactions. Chicago booed past, they didn't want to see him. And so the match had the proper reaction, which actually helped it quite a bit. The ladder matches were fine. You know, if you really like that style, I'm kind of sick of it. And then anything else was sort of there. I thought the last man standing match for AJ Nakamura was actually a pretty good representation of where I'm at with me right now. It just didn't feel like it had any light. It was very languid. And that's a lot of the stuff going on. But I love the Ryan match. I really highly recommend it if you've seen it. Otherwise, the show had mostly okay matches. And a lot of the product still feels inessential. But I think they're headed in the right direction after what were, in my opinion, two worst matches, or months, rather, in the history of the company in terms of being a good low. So C+, but that's trending up.
All right. I think I'm going to be a little higher. Not much, but I will be a little higher on the rating. And I'm going to go ahead and give it a B. A B. And the two big reasons for are, first, Ronda Rousey in her first match, like, I'm super, like, it really got me stoked. That's really what drove it up to get into the category. Just so thrilled with Ronda's performance and excited what's to come on that front. But the reason is they've closed out. You can see there's openings. That's another reason, you know. AJ beat Knock, you know, okay, what's come next on that? You know, Roman beat Jinder, and like I said, I'm still trying to get back on getting truly excited for Roman, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. Money in the Bank, like I said, I don't know what they're going to do with Braun, but having on Braun is unique, I guess. But Daniel Bryan beating us now, so that's a new thing. So that they're still opening up new avenues for people to go in different places and we finally maybe get out of that WrestleMania slump.
Yeah, then in particular, Dustin, I think, you know, to cut you off, but really does, you know, I said positive here, really does look good coming out of this, especially if New Day are getting the singles run. So I'm hyped about SmackDown at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what I had to say. Like I said, there were no – well, that's a lie. I thought Ronda and Nia was a great match. But outside of that match, I didn't think there was anything that – there was nothing that just completely – like Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn wasn't enough to make me mad or anything. So but there was nothing that was disappointing enough for me to drop it to a C and give it a solid B for the whole show. Patrick?
All right, well, I am going to give this a B plus. First of all, let's start with a match of the night, which was Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax, because that match blew my expectations out of the water. It was just tremendous. What they did versus what I was expecting for it and everything else. So, and say, you know, you can do a lot with less, and they have a lot of time, they have a lot of experience, but they knocked it out of the park. So for that, they gave them a match of the night. Of course, Money in the Bank should be renamed as Money in the Bliss. This was next to show. She won the case, then she won the title. So truly the champ we deserve. And again, AJ put on a match that starting to not care so much about what they were doing, because, you know, I was very much let down with their match at WrestleMania, and it hasn't clicked for me that much. But the fact that, you know, they actually, like I said earlier, my favorite of all matches this year, that was good too. So, ups and downs, but, you know, nothing bragged, and, Evan, I enjoyed my Bang ladder matches, and so I do like that gimmick, and so I can definitely appreciate the effort. Of course, the women I thought did better than the men on that end, but yeah, solid show plus, and can't wait. We'll be back July 15th or a day or two after, depending on our schedules, to talk about Extreme Rules happening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and so far announced are Alexa Bliss defending her championship against Nia Jax. And, of course, as Evan said earlier, there's going to be a six-pack challenge to determine the number one contender for the Universal title at SummerSlam. And so far announced are Reigns and Lashley.
Was that what they announced?
Yes, it's a six-pack challenge.
Oh, so okay. So I'd imagine that the other four are probably the four is, well, probably not Braun. Probably because he's got the contract. Probably Owens, Corbin, and Rollins. Who's going to win?
Yeah.
Corbin and Owens won tonight. Ron and Finn in the Raw main event. So they're going with Constable Corbin as a legitimate threat.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back again next month. Make sure to check us out on the Twitter at FW Radios, where you'll find all the FOW stuff. And you can find Evan at Evan L. Weston, Dustin at Drive By Outcast, at Yellowman PA. And this was the review of WWE's Money in the Bank. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Good night. We're out of here.